Joining us now on the Revel Wireless Hotline is our good friend Steve Weisch from NFL Network and NFL.com. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Vic, how's everything going?
Outstanding, my friend. It's been such a busy offseason here with the Browns, busy throughout the league. I want to start with the Browns and get your takes on what they've done this offseason. They have made some aggressive moves, as you know, on the defensive side of the ball, especially most recently, though, they trade Colt McCoy to the San Francisco 49ers. So that move was kind of expected, but give me your general take on what the Browns have done to this point.
Well, first of all, going to the Colt McCoy move, I think part of that goes to show it's a classy move by an organization. I mean, if he wasn't going to be part of their plan, they were able to trade him, you know, to get something for him, which helps out the organization. But, you know, they also traded him to a situation where he's going to have a chance, you know, to be a backup, to compete for a backup, and to a chance where, you know, he's going to be able to win. You know, and a lot of times teams, you know, and I learned this years ago covering Jimmy Johnson in Miami, if you want to be seen as a class organization, you know, even if you get rid of players, you want to treat them right, do things in a timely fashion. And I think the fact that Colt was a competitor and handled some dicey situations, professionally there, this new regime was able to trade him, get him to a good situation, shows some class, and hopefully, you know, we know Colt's a gamer. He'll fare well out in San Francisco.
Right.
In terms of some of the other moves they made, I like them. I mean, you know, they're switching to the 34 with Ray Horton to play it a certain way, and they went and got guys that fit. You know, the Kruger fit. Yeah, he might not have necessarily been a starter, but he fits what they want to do, you know, as a pass rusher. Some of the other moves they made fit what Ray Horton likes to do. They're going to be very aggressive. You know, you saw what he did in Arizona. They're going to get after anybody trying to throw the ball, and they're going to be aggressive up front. So the moves were solid. And, you know, there's some strong pieces in place already there. So, again, I think Cleveland is a team that, you know, they're not far off. You know, and I like also the acquisition of Jason Campbell. Based on comments from Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi, does look like it's Brandon Whedon's job to lose. But they basically came out and said, you know, hey, look, we're holding you to a standard. If you can't cut it, we got Jason Campbell here, and he's won some games in this league. So I think if you're a Browns fan, you're at least saying, you know what, we may have a ways to go, but the team is stacking itself in a way as to where it can compete. It's not a radical overhaul. It's not something where they're necessarily over-the-top big money free agent signings in terms of doing something that's going to handicap the team salary cap wise. And I just think that the regime has been very prudent. And, you know, we'll see, but they've got a lot of pieces in place.
Steve, when you look at free agency throughout the league, the team that's made the biggest headlines, obviously the Miami Dolphins, for not only the quantity of the moves, but the names that they've brought in as well. But rather than just go to the obvious there, I'm wondering in your mind, who has some of the best individual fits with free agent pickups these past few weeks?
Well, Vic, I want to include some trades, you know, because I think Seattle, the move they made for Percy Harvin, sure they forfeited a first-round pick, but, you know, they probably feel they didn't need to necessarily use it, and Percy Harvin can supplant the first-round pick. He's become a matchup nightmare for every team in that division, which is now arguably the best division in football. That's going to help them take the next level. They signed Cliff Avril and Michael Bennett, pass-rushing defensive ends, what they need because Clements had a knee injury and can never have enough pass rushers. I think they're a team that's really done well. I think quietly the Detroit Lions, also in the NFC, have made a good move. Getting Reggie Bush, getting Glover Quinn, getting some guys who've won before. Jason Jones, not big splash names, but guys who've won. That's what an immature team in need of leadership probably needs to fit, you know, in the AFC. For some of the losses that the Ravens had, you have to like the fact that they got Elvis Dumas. And you know, they go out there and they address some of their needs. Michael Huff, he's a cover safety. He's not necessarily a big hitter, but he's a guy who can really run, and he can cover in the passing game. So, you know, I think there's some really good fits that we've seen. Another one, the New York Giants, very subtle, but getting Cullen Jenkins, the defensive tackle, who was okay in Philadelphia, but is a perfect fit what Perry Fuel will like to do in that scheme. So I think we're seeing some of the smart teams get perfect fits for their system in free agency, which will allow them to draft accordingly when the draft gets here in 3 weeks.
Steve Weiss joining us from NFL Network via the Revel Wireless Hotline. You can catch him on a terrific show, NFL AM, on the network. You want to get up in the morning and get your jump on NFL news, that's the place to do it. Also, NFL.com, you can read his great stuff there as well. An appearance on your network last week. Late last week, I was watching Ryan Matthews, running back for the Chargers, and I found it interesting during the course of his interview, talking about the Chargers' problems last year, his own problems with not being so productive. The team was complacent. It was kind of a weird thing, the way he was going there and saying the routine or whatever, or it had become routine. But in the aftermath of that, to hear some comments or read some comments from Donald Butler, linebacker from the Chargers, Nick Hardwick, the veteran center, both challenging really those comments about the team being complacent, those comments from Ryan Matthews, and Butler going as far as to say that Matthews should speak for himself. Didn't seem like they were very happy with that. What was your take on that?
Yeah, well, first off, and the way Ryan Matthews said it, and I think you wished he had it back when it came out of his mouth, but I think what he was trying to say is that the message got stale. And we know that happens to some teams. We saw it happen in Philadelphia, you know, with Andy Reid, that even though some players and turnover, you know, may happen, the message, for whatever reason, got stale. And, you know, and to my point, or to Ryan Matthews, even though, you know, he said players got complacent and the other guy said, hey, you know, speak for yourself, the Chargers did nothing on the field to make it look like they were really into it. I mean, all you have to do is go to one play which summarizes their whole season. That's that 4th-and-29 that Ray Rice got against them that really kept Baltimore's playoff hopes alive. So, you know, again, maybe Ryan Matthews misspoke. Maybe he, I won't say misspoke, but maybe he worded, you know, things differently, trying not to offend, and clearly he did. But, you know, I think it was something where he said, look, players got tired of hearing what Norv had to say. They went out and they competed, but they probably, you know, weren't into it. Because the one thing he said to follow that up when they were complacent was, we kind of felt that when we took the field sometimes that we were just going to be gifted wins. So, you know, something you hear that guys might not have been as focused or guys might not have played as hard as they should have. Because he did say that Norv did everything he could to try to get them to win. And when you listen to everything in its entirety, you know, he puts a lot of the blame on the players, not necessarily on North Turner.
Yeah, and I think that was really the message that I think should have come out, or at least the sense of it, because you can, as a team, become complacent even if you've got a coaching staff that's pushing you very hard. And one thing I can tell you, and we both know North Turner well, he pushes, he grinds. I mean, you talk about a guy who challenges, and I know he is going to challenge Brandon Weed and the other quarterbacks on this team very heavily as soon as they can get him out on the field in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to challenge him. He's going to make him better.
Yeah.
You tell me a quarterback that hasn't gotten better under North Turner.
Right.
And
right.
Alex Smith, until Jim Harbaugh came along, Alex Smith's best year came under North Turner. No, I think this is going to be the best opportunity for Brandon Weeden to show that if he can make it or not. If he can make it, it's because you got a guy like North Turner who's going to challenge him to make himself better.
One of your colleagues, Albert Breer, talking about the top overall pick and the options that the Chiefs have there, saying that that team has narrowed it down to four guys. Now, we don't really know who they are, but we can speculate, Luke Jokel being one of them, the big offensive tackle from Texas A&M. Geno Smith's name has come up, of course, after his strong workout, West Virginia quarterback. And others have talked about maybe Eric Fisher being another of those guys, the tackle from Central Michigan, whose draft stock has been rising. But in general, what are your thoughts about that first pick and what you see the Chiefs doing with it?
Yeah, I think they're either going to go offensive line. All indications are that way, even though they franchised Brandon Albert. All indications are they're going to go offensive line. And Vic, we know Andy Reid loves to draft offensive linemen high in the draft. He does. He did it every year at Philadelphia, seemingly. And that was an issue, you know, last year. So I think it's going to be Joker with Fisher, whatever, you know, whoever they best think fits what Andy Reid likes to do, is just throw the ball a lot. Or I think they're going to go defensive line. It might not be splashy, especially Kansas City, where they drafted Tyson Jackson and Glenn Dorsey, but they've got to replace Dorsey. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they look at some of those big-time defensive linemen that that are down there. Maybe not a Sharif Floyd type, but you know, either a pass rusher or somebody who can be, you know, a flexible defender on that line for what they like to do. So I think offensive tackle, but it wouldn't stun me if they showed up with one of those defensive linemen.
Mike Preston, columnist for the Baltimore Sun, has been doing that a long time for that paper, writing a column, and he had a line that caught some people's attention. He said that Ed Reed, that John Harbaugh, the head coach of the Ravens, wanted Ed Reed back as much as he wants a root canal, which made me cringe because I just had visited the dentist this morning, so I didn't have that issue. But man, you know, you hear something like that and you say, "Wow, was it that bad?" And then it of course calls to mind Michael Silver from Yahoo Sports reporting earlier that there was a near mutiny during the 2012 season, with allegedly Reed and Bernard Pollard being the leaders behind this near mutiny, if that's the right way to put it, because they weren't happy with the way John Harbaugh was running practices or just his general treatment of players. But it just seems to me that it's hard to believe that an iconic guy like Ed Reed and a guy like John Harbaugh, who just seems to get it with those key players, that beyond the business of football, and that much we understand, that beyond the business of football, he wouldn't have wanted Reed on the roster.
I'm not discounting that story. Right. I mean, you look at just what the Ravens did. I mean, they clearly wanted to move in another direction. And had they wanted Ed Reed, they could have had him. I mean, I saw in the column where he said, look, they didn't make much of an offer to keep him, which I believe to be true. If we had Ed Reed on the show, and he did not make it sound like the Ravens were tripping over themselves to try to retain him. You look at their losses, you look who they let go. They clearly wanted to go in a different direction. And I think part of that is maybe some of it was personal with Ed Reed, but I also think part of it is the fact that, hey, you know, we've got some veterans who won their second or their first Super Bowl. If we're going to keep things fresh and keep some guys incentivized and motivated, we've got to get some new bodies in here so, you know, guys don't get that Super Bowl hangover. So let's look at the moves that they made. Look at the people that they got out of the leaders, a lot of veteran guys, and Ed Reed being one of them. So that column does not surprise me whatsoever because, again, if the Ravens wanted Ed Reed, they could have had him.
All right. Where do you see it going from here with the Ravens, with all the losses that they have taken? And I know they've done some rebuilding as well along the way in free agency, bringing in Elvis Dumervil, among others. But what's the state of that team in your mind?
Well, I mean, they've got some tough issues to address. I mean, the center, that underbelly of the defense, we know, just like in baseball, teams are strong up the middle. And you lose two inside linebackers and both of your safeties, that's not easy necessarily to replace. You've lost a ton of leadership. You've lost your starting center in Matt Burke. I mean, they've got some pieces to replace. I don't think this is necessarily a team that's going to fall off, you know, the face of the earth, but they're going to have a tough time getting back to the playoffs, in my opinion, because the one loss to me that could punch them in the stomach more than any is trading away Anquan Boldin. I mean, that dude showed up. He's made players better for years. And losing that much leadership is one thing, but then losing a guy like him who really pulled that team through the postseason, I think that's a big blow. Plus, it really strengthens the San Francisco 49ers.
Steve, we always love it when you drop by and give us your knowledge. Thank you.
Absolutely, Vic, anytime.
He is Steve Weisch from NFL Network. Catch him on NFL AM. You can also catch his columns on NFL.com. Great work by him. Joining us via the Revel Wireless Hotline right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.